Hi, folks. This is Roger Saloom. Hope you had a good week. I had a pretty good week. And then the weekend got better. Not always the case for me, but I was feeling better. I was feeling good. When I was a teenager, I would walk around my bedroom, and my bedroom was very small. My whole apartment was about 900 square feet. My bedroom, I don't know how we did it. We had two little bureaus and two little bunk beds, and we just, the bunk beds were on the floor, and we had very little space to. Anyway, we had space for a record player, and this song would make me want to backpack a bag and hitchhike down the road from the one I first heard it, which was around 15 years old. My mom and dad never knew how close I was to becoming a vagabond. Every time I heard Dylan, I wanted to leave home. Anyway, this is a song by Bob Dylan, written by Jesse Fuller, who was a one-man band out of San Francisco. And this is the very first track on the very first album by Bob Dylan, and it was called Bob Dylan. You're No Good.
Well, I don't know why I love you like I do. Nobody in the world can get along with you. You got the ways of a devil sleeping in a lion's den. I come home last night, you wouldn't even let me in. Well, sometimes you're as sweet as anybody wanna be. When you get a crazy notion jumping all over me, well, you give me the blues, I guess you're satisfied. And you give me the blues, I wanna lay down and die. You when you had no shoes on your feet, pretty mama. I helped you when you had no food to eat. You're the kind of woman I just don't understand. You're taking all my money and give it to another man. Well, you're the kind of woman makes a man lose his brains. You're the kind of woman drives a man insane. You give me the blues, I guess you're satisfied. You give me the blues, I wanna lay down and die. Well, you give me the blues, I wanna lay down and die.
So that was Dylan around 1966, I'm gonna guess. Maybe 63. Around that time, he was hanging out in the Village, and one of the guys who was a big deal there already, and people loved him because he could play jazz standards and pop standards, and people wanted to hang out with him. So he had a song by Jimmy Van Heusen and Johnny Burke called "I'd Like to." Would you like? Well, it's called "Swinging on a Star," and it was first introduced by Bing Crosby in 1944 in the film "Going My Way," and it won an Academy Award for Best Original Song. So here is a guy who was beloved by the early folkies in the folk revival of the '60s. Here's Dave Van Ronk. Listen to this beautiful gravelly voice. And this fellow who never became a household name, but he was loved by many. And he sounds as if he was a curmudgeon, and he probably was. But the young folkies would lean over his shoulder and look at his fingers and hands, try to figure out what the heck he was doing. So here's Dave Van Ronk. Would you like to swing on a star?
Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a fish? A fish is an animal that swims in a brook, can't write a poem or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought, but though he's slippery, he still gets caught. And by the way, if you don't clean up your dish, you may grow up to be a fish. Or would you like to swing on a star, carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? A mule is an animal with long, funny ears. Kicks up at everything he hears. His back is brawny and his brain is weak. He's just plain stupid with a stubborn streak. And by the way, if you hate to go to school, you may grow up to be a mule. How would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar. I'd be better off than you are. Or would you rather be a pig? A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He's sloppy and he's dirty and he's grungy up front. When he talks, all he does is grunt. And if you don't care a feather or a fig, you may grow up to be a pig. And all the monkeys ain't in the zoo. Every day you'll see quite a few. So you see, it's all up to you. You could be better than you are. You could be swinging on a star. Hey. You could be swinging on a star. Hey. You could be swinging on a star. Hey.
Here's another lady who preceded that folk revival, but inspired many of the folkies from that day. Memphis Minnie. She was actually born in New Orleans in the Algiers part. She played guitar and sang. And on this tune, she's got Blind John Davis on piano, and Johnny Parth was a producer. String bass is Ransom Nolan, and drums is Fred Williams. Trumpet is Alfred Bell, and Arnett Nelson is clarinet. I hope I got all that right. And you can hear she just moves it right along, and she got that. She slaps that guitar down. You'll hear how she slaps it and moves it. It propels the song along. With boom, 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 boom. Very unsentimental. And she's kind of talking to you and a little bit yelling at you, which is good. She's getting your attention. It's a cool way to do things. She's yelling at you a little bit, definitely talking to you. And she's trying to get over the noise of the bar. And the lyric and the people drinking and the liquor everywhere and the dishes clanking and the glasses clanking and all that. So here's Memphis Minnie. I'm going, don't you know?
Where's mine? be playing.
Here's another African-American lady and considered one of the greatest jazz singers that ever lived. She had a kind of tenor to her voice that was a tone that drew you in right away. It was beautiful. It was kind of lazy and kind of deliberately like that. It was just frank and lazy and right to you, you know, talking to you. Billie Holiday. She never wrote the song, I'm Learning. Wasn't written by Billie Holiday. It was written by a fellow named Abel Maripol, and he was a union activist from the Bronx, and he was disturbed, as many thoughtful people were, of the photographs or many photographs of the lynching of black people in the South, which was a daily occurrence in the southern states of the United States. And there was no follow-up or police questioning who did it, why did they do it. Everyone knows who did it and why they did it. It was white people, and it's because they were black. And they said it's a strange fruit hanging from those trees. So it was part of a poem, began as a poem, and Maripol and his wife Anne were also notable because they adopted Robert and Michael Rosenberg, who were spies for the Soviet Union. They were executed, and they were executed communists, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. But their orphan children were Robert and Michael, from Robert and Michael Rosenberg. But Maripol, Abe Maripol and his wife Anne adopted the Maripol kids. I've met them, actually. And Strange Fruit was first performed at a New York Teachers Union meeting and brought to the attention of the manager of Cafe Society, a popular Greenwich Village nightclub. Anyway, listen to this. Every black man who has any roots in the South of the United States knows this song. And here is an analogy. This drips right down every verse from the very beginning. And you can hear the pain. And what African Americans never forget, no matter how cool they are, how famous they are, how talented they are, how rich they are. So here it goes, Strange Fruit.
Southern trees bear strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the South, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rot, for the tree to drop. Here's a strange and bitter cry.
So here's a tune that kind of changing everything, changing decades, and by a woman named Linda Ronstadt. When Will I Be Loved? She was a huge star for a long time, a lovely lady. I crossed paths with her several times. One time we were at a club backstage. She was quite enamored with Kenny Buttrey. He was a bass player. I mean, the drummer in the band called Area Code 615, who was the Grammy-nominated, and I think they won a Grammy. They were the top session men in Nashville at the time. They did Dylan and everybody who came into town. And she thought Kenny was pretty, the cat's meow, and she was sitting next to him and holding his arm and stuff. And I'm just a crazy guy, and I didn't like that. I said, why is she sucking up to him so much? It's pitiful. So when the band went on, she and I went out front. She won't remember this. And I was standing there, and she crouched down on her haunches, and she's listening to the band, and they were so clean and so great. And of course, she was great. And I was upset with her, and I actually pushed her and knocked her over. Just got her off her haunches. I didn't hurt her or anything. She was already on the floor. And then I walked away because I'm a little bit of a madman. And then about 40 years later, Linda Ronstadt's half Mexican and half German. And she'd been living in the Southwest. And I think it was the state of Arizona had a law where they were trying to, Judge Arpaio or something was pushing for a law which was profiling Mexican Americans so they could stop them and see if they were citizens. And Linda didn't like that. So this friend of mine was making a documentary, and he wanted me and Linda to do a song called Deportee, which is about workers coming in for picking up fruit and vegetables for in San Joaquin Valley, California. And Woody wrote the song, so she and I were going to do it. I did my part, and then she was ready to do her part, and then she had to cancel because of an underdiagnosed illness at the time. She said, I can't sing. Something's wrong with my voice. And then several years later came out that she had Parkinson's. And I want you to know Linda is just a wonderful, wonderful person, and she has so many good things. She's real. And she's talented, and I'm glad she was famous. I'm not so glad I knocked her over.
I've been cheated, been mistreated. When will I be loved? We'll be right back.
we're going to get out of the past here, and we're going to go to a contemporary, a guy who's younger than me by many, many years, who used to kind of hang around, and he was very friendly to me, and he wanted to learn what I had learned over my life. And he's done that and more. And he put out a record. He's a young guy. He put out a record, and it got number 16 on the country top country charts. And he had no major manager, no major record label. It is a huge achievement for him to have done that. He's from Northampton, Massachusetts, where I met him. And he's opened for me a couple of times. I've gotten him a few bookings. And I'm sure if I went to one of his shows, I'd be happy to open for him. He's opened for a lot of times he's opened for Huey Lewis and the News. But here's his tune. Listen to the guitar riff in the beginning. It sets the level of musicianship up pretty high. And it sets him apart from most of those country rock junk. A lot of country rock is junk. Not all of it. Some of it's good. But a lot of it's just junk. They're just bad versions of rock and roll. So here's All American Mutt by Jamie Kent.
We got blue eyes and brunettes, rainbows and rednecks. Good thing we're in the land of the free. We got Scottish, Jewish, Christian, and Buddhist, and that's just the branches of my family tree. So here I stand in these jeans, all kinds of blood running through this stream. The many dreams that have been chased, I'll wear them on my face. There's so many calls from which I'm cut. Just call me an All-American Mutt. We got Republicans and Democrats, and they get along like dogs and cats. There's all kinds of crazy in my crowd. We got athletes and hippies, and they're all somewhere within me. I may not be perfect, but I'm proud. Here I stand. All kinds of blood running through this stream. The many dreams that have been chased, I wear them on my face. There's so many claws from which I'm cut. Just call me an All-American Mutt. Dreamers, outsiders, lovers and fighters, footprints made by every kind of shoe. We may not all agree on the colors that we see, but they all make up that red, white and blue. So here we stand in these jeans, all kinds of blood running through this stream. The many dreams that have been chased, we wear them on our face. There's so many calls from which we could just call us All-American Mutt. Yeah, we're All-American Mutt. I'm an All-American Mutt. Yeah, I'm an All-American.
So here's another young fella, Amos Lee. I think he's a little bit older than Jamie Kent. I think he's living in Philadelphia nowadays, but he is quite the singer-songwriter. I heard him and I said, this guy's got it. You know, a girl has to have a sense of soulfulness to them, not just be a bunch of words and lyrics. And I don't like finger athletes, you know, people that just play because they're really good at playing. And I don't like people who have great voices and they pick crummy songs because they're shallow. It's like an eagle in a parakeet's cage. What's the point? So this guy is really good. Here is Amos Lee, In the Arms of a Woman.
of a woman. Although now most of my days are spent alone, a thousand miles from the place I was born. But when she wakes me, she takes me back home. Now most days I spend like a child who's afraid of ghosts in the night. I know there ain't nothing out there. I'm still afraid to turn on the light. I am at ease in the arms of a woman. Although now most of my days are spent alone, thousand miles, the place I was born. When she wakes me, she takes me back home. Thousand miles, the place I was born. When she wakes me, she takes me back home. I am at ease in the arms of a woman. Although days I spent alone, a thousand miles from the place I was born. When she wakes me, she takes me. Yeah, when she wakes me, she takes me. Yeah, when she wakes me, she takes me back home. When she wakes me, she takes me back home.
So this song is one of my own songs. It's called "I Kill You, But You're Already Dead." It's an ode to two people, one who was a dear friend of mine who did kill himself, did harm to himself. It wasn't necessary. He could have lived, but he despaired. And the other one was someone who I love deeply, who twice tried to hurt themselves. But they didn't. We rescued them, rushed them to the hospital, almost destroyed them. The hospital saved their lives. And this is for all of you who, if there's any of you who feel so sad that you hurt yourself, please don't. Life is a wonderful gift. It's a cockeyed, unfair, sometimes joyous, cockamamie thing. You just got to get through it. Do your best. There's always a light at the corner. Okay? So here's a song from Roger Saloom. I love this guy. I love this guy. I wish I could spend more time with him.
Going to go home, tuck them in a bed. Keep seeing your face, I'm going. Kill you, but you are.
Talking about having a reason to live, listen to this next song by the wonderful Curtis Mayfield. Though I'm a big admirer of the heady and thoughtful Bob Dylan and many other writers like him, well, there's no lyricist like him, as prolific as he is, but I love the soul players. I think they're deeper inside of me in a way. Curtis Mayfield, he left us prematurely, I believe. Some stage lights fell on him, or he fell onto some pit at a big concert. I used to play this with Charles Neville, my sax player, and Charles Neville's brother Aaron would play it. Charles played sax with a lot of people. He wasn't only my sax player. And he played I was going to do it one night at a big theater. We were doing a show with Aaron Neville, and Charles says, I think Aaron's going to do it. So I said, okay, we won't do it. But here's a beautiful song of life. It's all right to have a good time. Yes, it's all right.
Say it's all right.
It's all right.
Say it's all right.
It's all right.
It's all right. Have a good time, 'cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. We're gonna move it slow. When lights are low, when you move it slow, it sounds like a moan, and it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Now listen to the beat, kind of pat your feet. You got soul, and everybody knows that it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. When you wake of us do, I'ma learn a song, make life your goal, and surely something's gotta come to you.
And say it's alright.
Say it's alright. It's alright. Have a good time, 'cause it's alright. Whoa, it's alright. Now everybody clap your hands, give yourself a chance. You got soul, and everybody knows that it's alright. Whoa, it's alright. Someday I'll find me a woman who will love and treat me real nice. Then my rose got to go, and my love she will know from morning, noon and night.
And she's got to say it's all right.
Mm-hmm. Say it's all right. It's all right. Have a good time, 'cause it's all right. Whoa, it's all right. Everybody clap your hands, now give yourself a chance.
June 3rd, 1966, the world becomes a little bit better because a guy named Jimmy Ruffin sings a song called What Becomes of the Brokenhearted, acknowledging that there are brokenhearted and broken peace people out there. This song is a very interesting musical song because it changes keys for the chorus. It's lovely. It's the best Motown ever offered, I think, among the best. Changing keys is pretty slick. So just listen to it. It's all about brokenhearted people and busted people. And it's joyous. It's okay. It's okay. Jimmy Ruffin, What Becomes of the Brokenhearted?
This land of broken dreams, I have visions of many things, but happiness is just an illusion, filled with sadness and confusion. What becomes of the broken hearted, who had love that's now departed?
So I'm going to stay in that mood a little bit more. I make a confession. I used to not buy a lot of records, but when I bought one, it was gold to me. It was the covenant. It was the Bible to me. I didn't buy a lot of records, but I remember I was traveling in my car. I was by myself. I was on Chandler Street in Worcester, Massachusetts, right near the municipal playing field. They had all the football games where I broke my arm and leg sneaking into a game, and not far from the place where I broke my arm flying over the football, playing a sandlot football, flying over the goal line. I heard this record in the car, and I turned my car around, and I drove down to the record store, and I bought the 45. This guy got to me. I didn't realize it then. I thought it was real. I felt it was real. And the truth is, it was real. People from Clarence Carter's generation, they were poor, really poor. Maybe you've never been that poor, and maybe you've only heard stories about being poor. But I know people who were so poor. I know of people. I've heard them say it. Musicians that were so poor, they couldn't afford a guitar. They put a couple nails up and strung wire, which is what guitar strings are, vast majority of them, on a barn door or on a wooden door. And the door would vibrate, or the wall would vibrate. That was their guitar. That's how poor they were. When I was a young musician, I had a band. We had no money. I remember for syrup, we had flour, we had water, we made pancakes. And I remember taking sugar and put it in water, making syrup water, and that's what we had. All we really had was the pancakes and a little sugar. We were poor. Clarence Carter talks about the struggles of a family without a dad, with a dad. And Patches, I love this song. This brought tears to my eyes.
I was born and raised down in Alabama, on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, cause deep down inside he was hurt, cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely paid the bills we made. Oh, life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed, put his hands on my shoulders, and in tears he said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Days later, Papa passed away, and I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes I felt that I couldn't go on. I wanted to leave, just run away from home. But I would remember what my daddy said, with tears in his eyes on his dying bed. He said, Patches, I'm depending on you, son. I've tried to do my best. It's up to you to do the rest. Then one day a strong rain came and washed all the crops away. And at the age of 13, I thought I was carrying the weight of the whole world on my shoulders. And you know, Mama knew what I was going through, cause every day I had to work the fields, cause that's the only way we got our meals. See, I was the oldest of the family, and everybody else depended on me. Every night I heard my mama pray, Lord, give him strength to make another day. Though years have passed and all the kids have grown, the angels took Mama to a brand new home. Lord knows, people, I shed in tears, but my daddy's voice kept me through the years, saying, Patches, I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you. Oh, I can still hear Papa
So I was a single dad at a time when there were maybe, you know, 100 single dads in the whole United States. I remember the film Kramer versus Kramer came out, and I sent Dustin Hoffman a letter. He actually sent me a letter back. I was single, oh, dad. I remember, you know, when you're really poor, you don't really know you're poor. I mean, sometimes you're reminded of it, but you don't have time to think about how poor you are. At least I didn't. I remember I read my kids' stories in bed every night for 7 years. And one time I was sitting in the bedroom. We didn't have enough money to get the oil furnace going. All we had was a stove downstairs, a wood stove. But it couldn't keep the bedrooms upstairs heated. And I remember sitting there with my kids, and I'm reading the story, and I can see my breath in their bedroom. I can see it. I can see it today. That's when you know you're poor. When you can see your breath in your own house. It's okay to be connected with it. I'm not poor anymore. Yeah, I forgot to tell you, the next song is mine. It's called I Got the Kids. Yeah, being a single dad at that time was really, really, really uncommon. I had no role models. But I got directives from the school teachers and never saw a family therapist or anything like that. Just did it. And today I'm close with the two youngsters I raised. They're adults. Thank you so much for listening, folks. Love you out there. Be good to yourselves. And remember that old saying, made in Newark, New Jersey.
Well, I don't know how it happened. I don't know what I did. But I had a little divorce. Get them off to school. They don't look too good, but they're cool. Go to the PTA. Everyone wants to know if we're okay. I got the kids. Once you got them, oh, you got them. I got the kids. Well, they say it's nothing I did. I ask them if their mama's ever had any kids. I got the kids. Don't eat the paint. I got the kids. If it's gonna get done, I gotta do it myself. Toughest job I've ever had. But to look in those eyes, hold that little hand, and have someone call me dad. I got the kids. Once you got them, oh, you got them. One too many, two's too much. Three will drive you crazy. Four, you need a crutch. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, over and over and over again. I got the kids. Oh, yeah, I got the kids. Yeah, I get these phone calls. Could you come down, sir? This is the principal in your son's school. He's bitten a little boy. And I'll be right down. It got better, though, when they were teenagers. But this is Officer O'Malley. Your son has bitten another boy. Would you mind coming down to the station? I'm sorry. It's maybe... be something he picked up from the neighborhood dog. I really don't know what to say. I'll be right down.